理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 8.
Preview. The exploration of outer space has been a dream ever since humans first gazed at the stars, and yet it remains an area of huge controversy. Does space hold a shining promise for the future of mankind? Or will it become just another arena for greed and destruction? Shouldn't we concentrate on the problems here on Earth instead of wandering around the universe in search of who knows what? The texts in this unit look at three different aspects of our ventures into space. Text A examines the politics and economics of space exploration. Text B ponders some of the puzzles of communication with beings from other worlds. And text C speculates about who will be going where in the future of space travel.
Text A, Space Politics. It is expected that the discovery of possible life forms from the planet Mars will revive public interest in space exploration. But is public support for the international space effort necessary, given that politicians seem determined to press ahead with it anyway? The race to the moon, which was won by the Americans in 1969, was driven almost entirely by politics. The rivalry between the U.S. and the former Soviet Union meant that the two countries were determined to be the first to put a man on the moon. President John F. Kennedy promised that America would win this race, and, as one of the most popular presidents in American history, he inspired a nation to think of space exploration as the ultimate test of America's superiority over her Soviet enemy. America's success as the first nation to reach the moon, coupled with continuing Cold War rivalry, created much public support for the space program, and Washington was able to fund many more missions. During the 1970s, the moon was visited again. Unmanned missions were sent to Mars, and for the first time, man-made craft were put on paths that would take them out of the solar system. But by the 1980s, public support for space exploration was declining. It faded almost entirely after the Challenger space shuttle disaster of 1986, and the U.S. government was under pressure to scale back its space program. Politicians reacted by demanding cuts in spending, which put the future of many space missions in doubt. In Russia, funding was also a problem. The end of the Soviet Union meant the country could no longer afford to sustain its space program. In fact, spending became so tight that there was often not enough money to bring home astronauts working on the country's Mir space station. But in the last few years, politicians seem to have changed their attitude to space exploration, even though there is little evidence that the public have. New missions to Mars are planned, and plenty of money is being spent on other extraterrestrial activities. Last year, for instance, the U.S. spent more on space research and development than on any other area of research, except health and the military. And spending is likely to increase in the coming years. Currently, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, is planning a number of missions to Mars, and it is pressing ahead with the most expensive space exploration project ever undertaken, the International Space Station. 3 years ago, this project, a collaboration between the U.S., Canada, Russia, Europe, and Japan, came within one vote of being canceled by the American House of Representatives. And the Americans are not the only ones spending huge sums on space exploration. The Europeans, Canadians, and Japanese are expected to spend $9 billion on their share of the space station. And Europe has already spent huge sums developing its Ariane rockets, the most recent of which, Ariane 5, blew up shortly after it was launched. The Russians, too, claim they are committed to supporting the International Space Station, an expense that country seems ill-able to afford. So, if there is little public support for space exploration, where does the impetus to fund these activities come from? Promoting the cause of science is one possible answer. But recently, there has been considerable controversy over whether projects like the International Space Station have enough scientific value to merit the billions that have been and will be spent on it. NASA's reasons for building the space station are to develop new materials and technologies that will have immediate practical applications. However, for such research to be worthwhile, NASA needs private companies to develop and help pay for extraterrestrial research. Unfortunately, the cost of sending anything into orbit is so high that most private companies favor improving techniques on Earth. Significantly, NASA has so far not managed to get any substantial private investment to manufacture products in space. The result is that the station seems, at present, to have only one concrete objective: research into how people can live and work safely and efficiently in space. But how important is this research? And can it possibly justify the cost of this huge orbiting laboratory? The only purpose of studying how humans live and work in space would be to prepare for long-term space missions. At present, none are planned, and this seems unlikely to change in the near future. The main reasons for this are the costs. A manned mission to our nearest planetary neighbor, Mars, for example, would cost around $400 billion. This is $50 billion more than Russia's present gross domestic product, GDP. And even if one accepts that this research is important, can it justify building a space station the size of 14 tennis courts at a cost which is eventually expected to exceed $100 billion? Given the shortage of funds in many other areas of scientific research, it would seem not. So why build it? There are good political reasons for doing so. It would provide work for the thousands of unemployed defense workers who depended on the Cold War for their jobs, and who make up a substantial proportion of voters in both Russia and the U.S. It will also help keep American-Russian ties strong, another reason NASA believes the space station is a good investment. Critics argue that there are far cheaper ways to keep the U.S. and Russia on good terms. And then there is the legacy of the Cold War. The Berlin Wall may have fallen, but NASA and the U.S. government still seem to believe in the ideal of one nation's superiority in space. Indeed, NASA describes the space station as a powerful symbol of U.S. leadership. It seems that the world's politicians are caught in a time warp. They still believe, as they did in the 1960s, that man must conquer space in order to prove he is master of his surroundings. If only it weren't so expensive.
New words. Rivalry.
Craft.
Shuttle.
Extraterrestrial.
Military.
Aeronautics.
Space exploration.
Collaboration.
Council.
Rocket.
Impetus.
Controversy.
Worthwhile.
Orbit.
Planetary.
Gross.
Time warp.
Warp.
Unit 9. Preview. The exploration of outer space has been a dream ever since humans first gazed at the stars, and yet it remains an area of huge controversy. Does space hold a shining promise for the future of mankind? Or will it become just another arena for greed and destruction? Shouldn't we concentrate on the problems here on Earth instead of wandering around the universe in search of who knows what? The texts in this unit look at three different aspects of our ventures into space. Text A examines the politics and economics of space exploration. Text B ponders some of the puzzles of communication with beings from other worlds. And Text C speculates about who will be going where in the future of space travel.
Text A, Space Politics. It is expected that the discovery of possible life forms from the planet Mars will revive public interest in space exploration. But is public support for the international space effort necessary, given that politicians seem determined to press ahead with it anyway? The race to the moon, which was won by the Americans in 1969, was driven almost entirely by politics. The rivalry between the U.S. and the former Soviet Union meant that the two countries were determined to be the first to put a man on the moon. President John F. Kennedy promised that America would win this race, and, as one of the most popular presidents in American history, he inspired a nation to think of space exploration as the ultimate test of America's superiority over her Soviet enemy. America's success as the first nation to reach the moon, coupled with continuing Cold War rivalry, created much public support for the space program, and Washington was able to fund many more missions. During the 1970s, the moon was visited again. Unmanned missions were sent to Mars, and for the first time, man-made craft were put on paths that would take them out of the solar system. But by the 1980s, public support for space exploration was declining. It faded almost entirely after the Challenger space shuttle disaster of 1986, and the U.S. government was under pressure to scale back its space program. Politicians reacted by demanding cuts in spending, which put the future of many space missions in doubt. In Russia, funding was also a problem. The end of the Soviet Union meant the country could no longer afford to sustain its space program. In fact, spending became so tight that there was often not enough money to bring home astronauts working on the country's Mir space station. But in the last few years, politicians seem to have changed their attitude to space exploration, even though there is little evidence that the public have. New missions to Mars are planned, and plenty of money is being spent on other extraterrestrial activities. Last year, for instance, the U.S. spent more on space research and development than on any other area of research, except health and the military. And spending is likely to increase in the coming years. Currently, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, is planning a number of missions to Mars, and it is pressing ahead with the most expensive space exploration project ever undertaken, the International Space Station. 3 years ago, this project, a collaboration between the U.S., Canada, Russia, Europe, and Japan, came within one vote of being canceled by the American House of Representatives. And the Americans are not the only ones spending huge sums on space exploration. The Europeans, Canadians, and Japanese are expected to spend $9 billion on their share of the space station. And Europe has already spent huge sums developing its Ariane rockets, the most recent of which, Ariane 5, blew up shortly after it was launched. The Russians, too, claim they are committed to supporting the International Space Station, an expense that country seems ill-able to afford. So, if there is little public support for space exploration, where does the impetus to fund these activities come from? Promoting the cause of science is one possible answer. But recently, there has been considerable controversy over whether projects like the International Space Station have enough scientific value to merit the billions that have been and will be spent on it. NASA's reasons for building the space station are to develop new materials and technologies that will have immediate practical applications. However, for such research to be worthwhile, NASA needs private companies to develop and help pay for extraterrestrial research. Unfortunately, the cost of sending anything into orbit is so high that most private companies favor improving techniques on Earth. Significantly, NASA has so far not managed to get any substantial private investment to manufacture products in space. The result is that the station seems, at present, to have only one concrete objective: research into how people can live and work safely and efficiently in space. But how important is this research? And can it possibly justify the cost of this huge orbiting laboratory? The only purpose of studying how humans live and work in space would be to prepare for long-term space missions. At present, none are planned, and this seems unlikely to change in the near future. The main reasons for this are the costs. A manned mission to our nearest planetary neighbor, Mars, for example, would cost around $400 billion. This is $50 billion more than Russia's present gross domestic product, GDP. And even if one accepts that this research is important, can it justify building a space station the size of 14 tennis courts at a cost which is eventually expected to exceed $100 billion? Given the shortage of funds in many other areas of scientific research, it would seem not. So why build it? There are good political reasons for doing so. It would provide work for the thousands of unemployed defense workers who depended on the Cold War for their jobs, and who make up a substantial proportion of voters in both Russia and the U.S. It will also help keep American-Russian ties strong, another reason NASA believes the space station is a good investment. Critics argue that there are far cheaper ways to keep the U.S. and Russia on good terms. And then there is the legacy of the Cold War. The Berlin Wall may have fallen, but NASA and the U.S. government still seem to believe in the ideal of one nation's superiority in space. Indeed, NASA describes the space station as a powerful symbol of U.S. leadership. It seems that the world's politicians are caught in a time warp. They still believe, as they did in the 1960s, that man must conquer space in order to prove he is master of his surroundings. If only it weren't so expensive.
New words. Rivalry.
Craft.
Shuttle.
Extraterrestrial.
Military.
Aeronautics.
Space exploration.
Collaboration.
Council.
Rocket.
Impetus.
Controversy.
Worthwhile.
Orbit.
Planetary.
Gross.
Time warp.
Warp.
Text B. Message to the Unknown. In 1977, two spacecraft named Voyager 1 and 2 were launched towards Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune. After collecting and sending back to us precious information about those giant planets, they left the solar system in 1989. No one knows how long their wanderings will last. Distances in space are so enormous that the ships may float there for a billion years without hitting any object that could destroy them. According to scientists, the Voyagers may approach the nearest star in their path in 40,000 years or so. In another 400,000 years, one of the Voyagers may pass near a second star. In either case, the ships will be at a distance of 1 or 2 light years from the star. There won't be any crash. A light year is the distance that light, traveling at 186,000 miles a second, can cover in 365 of our days. There are countless stars in the universe. It is believed that some of them are, like our sun, circled by a number of planets, and that some planets may carry intelligent beings, perhaps more advanced than we are. It is therefore possible that, in a million years or so, some creatures flying through space in their own ships will find one of the Voyagers. The stars are so far apart that the chances of such a meeting are very small, but it is not totally impossible. The scientists who prepared the spacecraft for their journey decided to put a message on each of them. We may never have another opportunity, they explained, to communicate with our distant neighbors, to let someone know sometime, somewhere, that our blue planet was once the home of fairly intelligent people, more or less civilized. The first difficulty was to decide what form the message should take. How can you communicate with beings that you can't even imagine? Since the laws of physics are believed to be the same throughout the universe, all beings must perceive light and sound in some way, even if they don't have eyes and ears like ours. After considering the problem carefully, the scientists and their chief, Dr. Carl Sagan, concluded that the best way to deliver the message was to put it on a special record capable of reproducing images and sounds, packed with a needle and a drawing showing how the equipment should be used. A small committee of scientists, writers, artists, and musicians was given the task of preparing the message itself. Despite some differences of opinion about the choice of material, the members of the committee agreed on the main points. They all said that it was essential to indicate the location of Earth in the universe, to show what it looked like, and to give an idea of the richness and variety of its cultures. The message lasts 2 hours. It starts with 116 pictures without sound, beginning with a drawing of the solar system and photos of Earth taken from space. Life is described first with representations of a man, a woman, a mother feeding a baby, a group of older children, and a family. To show that Earthlings live in societies, there are also pictures of people eating, working, cooking, and playing together. Then come all sorts of people, dancers, fishermen, members of different races and cultures. There are trees, beaches and islands, leaves and snow, an active volcano, even an earthquake. There are animals, from the bee to the elephant. Human achievements are represented by some of our most impressive buildings and bridges, along with ordinary houses from various parts of the world. Pictures of tools and machines have been included, medical and scientific instruments, a supermarket, a busy airport, and the launching of a spaceship, and a flock of birds flying across a gorgeous sunset. After this silent representation of our world, the record provides the Earth's sounds. This section of the message begins with brief speeches in 55 languages, including languages that have not been used in thousands of years, plus a special greeting from a group of whales. The speeches are followed by the sounds of nature, waves, wind, rain, animal calls, and bird songs, and human noises such as footsteps, heartbeats, the crying of a baby, men sawing wood, trucks and automobiles, and, the most difficult to record, the sound of a kiss. 3/4 of the record consists of music. This selection was the most difficult to decide on, for each member of the committee had his or her favorite composer. But they finally agreed that the aliens should have a chance to hear from as many cultures, past and present, as possible. If the finders of a Voyager can hear at all, they will have a wide choice. Bach, Beethoven, jazz, a Navajo chant, folk songs, European music of the 15th century, a wedding song from Peru, melodies from Japan and India, and a very old tune from New Guinea. The aliens will also hear a Mexican band, some rock and roll, and an ancient Chinese melody, Flowing Streams, performed on a 4,000-year-old instrument. The gold-covered record and its equipment, wrapped in aluminium for extra protection, are expected to survive in space for at least 1 billion years. What sort of beings, if any, will find them? And how will they react? Will they be curious and excited? Or will they be so used to picking up spaceships that they'll be bored to find one more? Will their own history and experiences help them to understand what Dr. Sagan's team was trying to show? Will they be impressed by our achievements? Or will they laugh at our clumsy efforts to communicate, if they can laugh? Will they try to locate the blue planet? The sad fact is, we'll never know.
New words. Voyager.
Voyage.
Reproduce.
Representation.
Earthling.
Flock.
Gorgeous.
Sunset.
Section.
Whale.
Footstep.
Saw.
Consist.
Composer.
Compose.
Alien.
Alienate.
Chant.
Melody.
Tune.
Band.
Aluminium.